number 56. Welcome to These Fantastic Worlds, the science fiction and fantasy podcast by Jake Jackson. With all the chaos and disorder around us, here's a little taste of hope in a story called First People. On a distant planet somewhere in the solar system of Barnard's star, the silhouette of two figures spread long shadows deep into the sands of the plain. At last, it's taken so long, I can't believe it. Muffled by her thin scarf, Nami took a short breath of searing heat. My great-great-grandfather gave up his dreams of such a return, so he began dealing, making money out of the invaders. Ishkode nodded. His skinny limbs hidden by a tattered cloak, he shook his left arm to loosen the sand on his beaded bracelet. Well, he lived at the death of the mining companies. They'd stripped the land for so long there was nothing left, and he'd lost heart. No wonder he disappeared. Namid narrowed her eyes. Is this really all ours again? Ishkode's question did not require an answer. What's left of it? Namid took a step forward, and they walked across to the battered hover jeep to journey towards the mountains. Well, who knows what we'll find? Ishkode, youthful and hopeful, ignored Namid's cynical raised eyes. The hover jeep stuttered into life as they climbed in. The land had been bought by the First People Cooperative for almost nothing, because it was worth nothing to the invaders who'd enriched themselves from it for centuries. Now nobody wanted the arid ground that stretched from one end of the horizon to the other. The ragged mountain range within had long been stripped of its minerals, and no life had roamed the plains for centuries. Vegetation bloomed only briefly, dropped from the beak of a passing bird, only to be incinerated in time by the relentless heat of Barnard's star. The group representing the First People had resigned itself to purchasing back the land that once had been theirs. With ancestors who had lived a frugal life on these plains, the centuries of absence had left the new generation of First People with a fading, memorialized trace. Faltering tales of living off the land, farming, fighting, loving, seemed naive and impractical in the modern world. The purchase of the land had seemed sentimental to the people of Namid and Ishkode's time, but still they felt a loyalty to the past, to the strong river of memory that swam with lively fish, even if the ancient seas of the First People could no longer support such rich natural resources. The people knew they could not and did not want to return to the old ways. Dispossessed of their physical ancestry, great damage had been inflicted to their spirit too. Disease, poverty, and addiction had overwhelmed them. Then the technology of the expanding settler populations finished the process. Every mote of the plains had been mapped, pinpointing resources for extraction. The bones of the land had been picked clean, but now the invaders had abandoned the tunnels and sinkholes in lands they once coveted. As they sped across the plain towards the mountains, Ishkode covered his eyes with his hand. Look, what's that? Oh, I've been meaning to tell you. Namid smiled beneath the scarf. I don't want you to raise your hopes too much, though. Oh, tell me. Ishkode leaned forward, seeing a group of people gathering around a huge emerging machine from the ground. We found it on our last survey. It's an ancient mechanical borehole drill. Huh, not much use anymore. Ishkode eyed Namid. Probably, but it's ours now. The agreement gave us everything in the land above and below it to 4 kilometres. So all the old mine shafts in the kit? Yep. Reckon we can set up a museum and make some trade at least. Well, not much else to do, I suppose. We have more surveys to do, Namid replied as they neared the activity and hailed their arrival. We've not checked in the mountains, so there might be something we can trade in there. Perhaps. The hover jeep stopped. Hey, that's impressive. Taller than every one of us on top of each other. Namid laughed at the enormous antiquated drilling machine that emerged slowly from the ground. Around the hole, 4 large anti-gravity discs had been arranged, and their force eased the drill to the surface. I suppose you borrowed those. Namid nodded at her own joke, knowing such expensive gear would have been loaned as part of the settlement. Ishkode nodded to the 10 or so people who returned their greeting with simple familiarity. He hung back as Namid moved across to discuss the plans for the drill. She'd returned swiftly. Oh, you'll be pleased to know. We think it could be used for something more interesting than the museum, for a few days at least. McGeezy over there. He thinks there's a gap in the survey, a dead space in the mountains, which we might as well map. Now? Well, why not? Namid shrugged. We can do what we like here, when we like. For the next day or so, the drill lay on the surface for the first time in 400 years. McGeezy and his team took their time, but checked it, cleaned it, and found it to be a simple solar-powered drill with old, blunt but functioning rock blades. As the sun lifted on the third day, McGeezy hailed everyone. Okay, time to go. The drill, propelled by the loaned anti-gravity pods and the people of the First Nation in their old hover jeeps, perambulated towards the mountain range. Look, you can see that ridge between the third and fourth peak. Namid nudged Ishkori. Sure, looks much the same as all the other ridges. Ishkori had imagined a more exciting trip. Don't be like that. That's where we're headed. See this? Namid pulled a handheld device, which showed the satellite mapping. No data. Just there. The group pushed on to the foothills, then slowed as the anti-gravity pods adjusted to the steep incline of the mountain. I suppose our ancestors would have climbed this. Guess so. Glad we don't have to. Namid patted the hover jeep. Here. McGeezy told everyone to stop. He gave quick instructions to the others, and the anti-gravity pods were controlled remotely, pushing the drill upwards at a perfect angle to penetrate the rock. Move back. We don't know how much debris will fly out. The hover jeeps reversed respectfully. Aren't these meant to be sacred mountains? Ishkode whispered to Namid. Not anymore. Drilling started. The noise was a deafening screech. And the rock rebelled at the intrusion, but ultimately surrendered. Half of the drill sunk in quickly, with dust and rock propelled back into the air, but soon it hit stronger resistance and the grinding slowed. Another layer here, much denser, older rock, we think, Namid shouted, leaning across to Ishkode. So why is there a dead space? Can't be that simple. There's rock like that all over. The drill changed gears and began to make more progress. Soon it disappeared from view, and the sound of its penetration funneled out into the dissolving late afternoon heat. Another dense layer was followed by yet one more. But then, McGeezy held his hand high. Stop! The entire plane was grateful for the silence. The hover jeeps gathered closer. Let's go out and see. Namid leapt out, followed by Ishkode, and they proceeded to the hole, waving away the smoke in front of them. McGeezy moved across to Namid. Reckon it's through some sort of barrier. I think we should pull it out and take a look. He gave the orders, and the operators of the anti-gravity pods stabbed at their screens. A steady rumble preceded the re-emergence of the drill, but soon it blocked the light until it was pulled back further. So, time to check this out, Namid smiled at Ishkode. Do you know what it is? Ishkode became suspicious. Well, I have a theory. Come on. She joined McGeezy, and Ishkode fell in behind. I have three of these. McGeezy handed them chest pad anti-gravity units, and they headed towards the hole again. They jumped in together, drifting slowly downwards through the ragged, wide hole, the deep striations of the drill bit scarring new history into the rock. They passed through the black layer of the surface, then the mixed rubble of the next, and a curious, smooth layer, more like solid lead, until they reached an empty cavern. They peered in from the roof of the natural dome, and below saw the remnants of occupation. A table made of the finest wood, a chair with beautiful patterns, and all around were sumptuous drapes and wall hangings. And in the middle, a skeleton collapsed, its dusty, brittle arms wrapped around a huge pile of gold and paper money. McGeezy could hardly breathe. There's more than enough here to regenerate the whole of these lands. Namid looked across at Ishkode's wide, wide eyes. Look, the bracelet on the left arm. So now we know what happened to your great, great grandfather. Thank you so much for listening. I really appreciate it. I hope you enjoy them at least half as much as I enjoy making them. This is almost the last episode for the year, so just one more, and then we're into 2021. Thanks again. This is Jake Jackson. See you next time. Goodbye.